Nehemiah, he's another great example of just how God can use us. I mean, he was a cupbearer for a king. Please forgive me if I butcher this name, King Xerxes. And you know, a cupbearer, they had to taste the food and drink the wine to make sure it wasn't poisoned to kill the king. So that was kind of a scary job to have too. But Nehemiah, he had a friend, Hanani, is one of his brothers, and it came from Judah, and he was telling Nehemiah about how there was people coming back into Jerusalem, and the walls were tore down, and the gates were burnt. I mean, Jerusalem was beautiful. The temple they built for God. Well, this really disturbed Nehemiah. It really hurt his heart to know that his town was destroyed and that people were ridiculing, you know, Jerusalem, their home. And as he brought the cup to the king noticed that he was sad, that he wasn't himself, and he knew he wasn't sick. So he asked him, you know, why are you sad? I mean, what's the matter? And he came to tell him that about how the city was destroyed. And God was with him. And this king gave him permission to go back, however long it took, to build the walls back up and put the gates back together, to bring the city back up to the glory that it was at one time before. And, you know, he gave him the paperwork to go to the right people to get all the supplies to do it too. You know, that's God's hand working. God works that in us today. He puts things for us. We just got to have our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears open in order to see it. But his plan needs your care and commitment. And see, that's the big thing. We got to be willing to let go and let God. We got to be willing to let him have control. I know that's a big problem. I suffered with that quite a bit, turning over control of my life to God. I want to be in control. I want to do this. And it was all about I, not about God. But when I finally said, God, you're in control, I give it up. I'm making a mess of my life and everything I touch. I can't do this anymore. It's yours. You know, am I saying miraculously everything fall together? I don't have trouble times or bumps in the roads? No, we're going to go through them. But that's times that we learn how to grow our faith and our perseverance to get through our next trials. So, you know, God has a plan for your life. But that plan will not magically work itself out. We got to give to it. Your life is not a passive observance of God in action. You know, if that was the case, it would be no different from just watching your life on a movie screen. But God's plan for your life depends on you and your faithful and careful attention. And if we... we don't, you know, we can just get lost. But we got to live out that plan to the best of our ability with God's help. That's the number one thing that we find out. Go to God, number one. Go to him first. Pray about anything you're going to do. first go to God and pray for it. If you put Him first in that, He's going to help you through it. He's going to supply your needs, just like He did Nehemiah. He supplied him. In Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. So we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." See, we all have different gifts, and it's according to the grace given to each one of us on how we use it. But we got to learn what that gift is sometimes. Tell you a little story here about this lady. She was a poor farmer's wife. Had a farm in Iowa. And she had came from an upper class family. And they had prestige. And her brother, he went to college, and he had earned his master's in divinity from Princeton Theological Seminary. And this young lady, Jenny, she was an intelligent woman too, but she married this poor farmer. Well, they had five children that she was raising also, and the thing about her, she didn't go to college. She didn't use her intelligence as that. She supported her husband, and was raising the kids. But when some family in the town would go through a hard time or have a crisis, she would go pick some apples, bring them in, peel them, slice them, which, you know, that can be a tedious job in itself. And then she'd make her flaky crust. She'd put the apples in there, the chunks of apples and some slabs of butter. Now, this is going to make me hungry. Some sugar. And then she put in extra cinnamon. That was her little thing she'd do it. And then she'd bake these. She'd put some corn husk in the stove. If there's probably not a lot. Remember, I knew what it was to cook on a wood stove. My mom had to do it, but she put a bunch of corn husk in there and heated that oven up, baked that pie just right, set it up, let it cool just enough that you could handle it, and then she'd have one of her kids take that to whatever family it was, and bring it to them as comfort food. Well, her kids, they seen her, the compassion their mom had and the grace they had. One of her sons, he wound up becoming a pastor. And he became a good pastor. And he preached to many. And a lot of people came to God through this man. Now, this young man learned this from his mom. She picked the apples off an apple tree they had in her front yard. They were free. She took her time and made these pies. This was a gift God gave her. And she showed her children that you don't have to have a lot of money. You don't have to go to prestigious colleges. That God has a gift in each one of us. We just got to figure out what that little gift is. If it's just sitting and listening to somebody and helping them out, and you know, sometimes just listening. But then, you know, my trait was mechanic, and I try to help people out all I could with that. But and that was just a little gift I have now. I try to keep our church fans going, you know, a little baling wire and suppliers, and that's a country thing, but yeah, so we each one have a gift that we really need to search our hearts for and be willing to let God in and let him work in us and the way he's made us. This is called humble service in the body of Christ. I'm a little country, and I might not preach the way a lot of preachers preach. One time I was preaching at our church and talking about the body of Christ. Well, you know, I think God has a sense of humor. I mean, he made me. I know he's got a sense of humor, but when we were preaching about the body of Christ, I don't know, it just came out. I said, you know, you could be a fingernail, you could be a toenail. And this one is, you know, I've heard this many ways, but I've never heard someone put the body of Christ in that. But it's true. It's true. We all have a function in the body of Christ. And if we don't all come together in that body and work together, then you know how our bodies get when we're hurting in one place or another. We get down, and you know, bless our brother Randy's heart. You know, this man I've known many years, and he's a hard working man, but you know, this illness became on him. But the one thing I know about Randy Wright is he trusts God. And he trusts him with all he's got. And he's going to come through this because of that. And that's what we got to know we can too. We can too. We can prevail. But when we're going through this, just like we're all doing, we love him enough, taking cards to him, we're doing this. But that's all at the function of the body of Christ. It's kind of, it's tempting to think we don't have the social connections and the education and the courage and the talents or the gifts to make any kind of impact. But God has a plan for everyone, and it is a plan for good. And more than that, you are part of that bigger plan, each one of us. We might not see how our part fits in the grand scheme of things right now, and we might feel our part's insignificant. But compared to that of someone such as Apostle Paul or Peter, you know, because they were great guys, they were great preachers, they were great, I mean, they were mighty preachers. They had that Holy Spirit just beating in them, and it poured out and dripped off of them. But we don't have to be Paul or Peter, because we can do great things the same way. I guess what I'm trying to get at today is that when you feel like you're insignificant and you're nobody and you're just sitting there, there's nothing you can do, just remember there's lots of things we can do. We can praise and worship God. We can sing for Jesus. I love it. I love it. We can do all kinds of things through Him. But the thing to remember is go to God, number one. Open our spiritual eyes and ears. And let God in. Let Him in to guide you. Just remember, we're all part of the same thing. No one better than the next. And we all got to connect together in order for the body of Christ to work. He's the head. He loves us. He loved us so much He gave His life for us. You know, nobody put Him on the cross. He got on the cross Himself. Yesterday, there was the homecoming parade up in Carbondale. We had got with four other churches and walked SIU and prayed over SIU and different places in there. We had planned to get together and march in the parade. This one guy... Phil, he kind of coordinated. He'd called 31 churches to come together. 31 churches. If we could just get two people from each of them churches, man, what a grand thing. But it wound up only seven of us showed up. The pastor that was going to have the float and stuff, and one person from his congregation. And he has a congregation of 150 people, and five of us from our church. You know, and I'm not saying this to brag anything at all about our church or anything, but I'm just saying it come down out of 31 churches, only seven people showed up. And we were going to sing, which was going to be a sound system, and we was going to sing as we marched through the parade. Well, Satan tried to stop this in every way possible. Our float, well, we couldn't have the float. And the people that couldn't walk well, they was going to be able to ride the float. Well, no, that couldn't happen. Well, then they can sit in the back of this truck and we're going to have a sound system. That didn't work either. All we had was a cross. And this guy's walked with this cross in Chicago. And it was pretty heavy. I was going to try to carry it myself, but there wasn't no way. I wouldn't have made it a foot. But three guys carried that cross, swapping turns. And the one pastor, he preached in the front, and I preached in the back, and the rest of us was just walking along the side, praising God. You know, through all these people, we got to pray for a few of them. Had a couple come out and hugged us. Thanked us for having the courage to get out here and do this. And then we had people that heckled us out there in the crowd. What has God got to do with this? We're partying. We're going to have... But as we was walking and they was heckling, the thing kept going through my mind is, you know what? They spit upon Jesus. They threw rocks at Him while He was carrying His cross and knocked Him down and put Him down. So, you know, whatever they wanted to do, that's fine. We is all going to still preach God. So he still right there, he took seven people that were still willing to praise God, and he used them to spread the word. Did we do any good? We don't know. We planted seeds, though, and God waters them and brings them along. So, just remember, we can all do something through Christ. Give it to Jesus. Let him take care of it. Just follow him. Don't sit back and think, I'm insignificant, there's nothing I can do. There is. We got to all come together. We all got to come together in the body of Christ in order to let this God's message to continue on. Don't take your message and go home and hold it to yourself. Take it out. Take it out. Out into the world. There's people that don't know Jesus. In this world of technology and Facebook and all the web, there is still people that don't know Jesus Christ. So please, you know, for God's sake, don't keep it to yourself. Take it out. Come together as the body of Christ, whatever it takes. Use your gift.